Summertime and the living is easy. Fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich and your ma is good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. One of these mornings, you're gonna rise up singing, and you'll spread your wings, and you'll take to the sky. But till that morning, there ain't nothing can harm you. With Daddy and Mommy standing by. Summertime and the living is easy. Fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich and your ma is good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry.
I know summer doesn't start for another week, but well, that song's been running through my head. I had to let it out. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, also at revolution.radio, also on our own show site, newdream.us, and our archive shows are also available at newdream.us, so you know, head on over, check it out. Now remember, Revolution Radio is a listener-supported network, and you know we're really glad to be on there. We hope that you will help them out a little bit. Go over to freedomslips.com and leave them a donation. Tell them we sent you. I'm proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Jim Fetzer, Richard Flamer. Oh, my mouse is going crazy. Just a minute, please, my mouse. Thomas Wertman, Frank Cordero, and Philip Ferruggio. And so, yeah, this Thursday evening we're gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in northern Minnesota, in Des Moines, in Port Orange, Florida, in Cleveland, in Madison, Wisconsin, in San Cristobal de las Casas, Chiapas, Mexico, and wherever you are. My recommended for tonight is Robert Kennedy on Fox talking to Tucker Carlson. And by the way, no matter what anyone is saying these days, why aren't Tucker Carlson, Bill O'Reilly, Brit Hume, Chris Wallace, Hannity, why aren't they all serving life without parole in the federal supermax in Florence, Colorado, because of their cover-up and complicity in 9/11. Why? Because that attack is still in progress. It's not over yet. That's why. In 2008, when we started the New American Dream website, and in 2011, the radio show, the premise has always been that there are no wrong questions. And what that meant was nobody is talking about things that are important. Nobody asking any questions. Please question this bullshit. And we should not feel we are doing anything wrong by asking questions. Those should be allowed, even encouraged. And if we are allowed to ask all the questions we have, and if there were someone willing to listen and provide answers, there would be no need for despair or dysfunction. We have the proof. Of course, Sandy Hook, Boston, Oklahoma City, JFK, RFK, King, Las Vegas, etc., were operations set up by the U.S. government and others, and by inference, every single one of the others. San Bernardino, LAX, Charlottesville, Orlando, the Wellstone murder, and at least a dozen others. Have you read your William Bloom and John Perkins and Douglas Valentine regarding the incredible dirty trick psyops the CIA and FBI have done over decades around the world to undermine any leader who tries to work for his or her people? Of course they would do the same thing here, especially here, you old son of a bubba. You are the most important piece of the universe dominant scheme puzzle there has ever been in the history of history. Many of the things we accept as real are fake, and the things we think are ridiculous myths are real. Of course, Bigfoot is real. UFOs, of course, are real, and aliens. And we are conditioned to laugh at that, but there's no reason. While on the other hand, the fake events put on and acted out by the fakers are simply hilarious. Gene Rosen, H. Wayne Carver, Robbie Parker, the hole in Shanksville that is supposed to contain an airliner, the hole in the Pentagon that is supposed to contain an airliner. The footage showing an airliner melting into the World Trade Center exactly like Wile E. Coyote. The photos of the so-called victims of the Boston bombing sitting on the sidewalk, waiting to begin to act in front of the cameras. We give mountains of money to the military to expand the empire and to kill and to gain even more wealth for the already filthy rich. If the soldiers really want to do something, they might go to Pennsylvania Avenue or the CIA building or the FBI building, where they can fight and die and actually do something about fighting for freedom and have their lives not be just a big joke wasted. We'll even tie yellow ribbons around the trees and the car antennas. Knock yourselves out. We don't even know we are living as part of an empire, good Americans, good Romans, as we do all we can to scratch and survive and live our lives while meanwhile. Maybe they do these things to condition us. Maybe they are magicians, highly skilled. Distraction. Look here at this bullshit fake shooting at this little crossroads church in Texas, while overseas we bomb to smithereens, Libya, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, and do our chicanery all over, everywhere, Ukraine, South America, Central America, Africa, everywhere. It's a big deal. It's a whole enchilada. It's your parents' lives, your children and grandchildren. Take a moment, sit by yourself on a park bench, maybe put classical music or the Logical song on your headphones and tell yourself, because even you don't really believe it. You don't want to. Nobody died at Sandy Hook or Boston. The whole Las Vegas shooting was an act, and there are, of course, more performances scheduled. We pay half of our tax dollars to the military while our bridges and roads collapse under our feet, while we worry and whisper, why can't we have health care, or don't think about it. Get busy as usual with your day in a dozen routine ways and not think about what all this means. What is the true reality of your life, your world? I do that all the time, try to escape, but there's nowhere to go. I've looked. Oh, and by the way, no, Uncle Joe, in fact, we didn't go to the moon either. And yet we believe in football, and we believe in the military. We will sit for hours and through hundreds of brain-melting commercials. The new American dream, not of new homes and toasters, but of becoming the kind of people we always thought we were. That is what the world needs. That is what the world is demanding of us right here, right now. We are the ones. For further information, I recommend The Corbett Report, How to Engineer a Crisis, also jimfetzer.blogspot.com, also False Flag Weekly News, also Truth Stream Media, also The American Everyman, Scott Creighton, and the same progressive Debbie Lusignan. And I'd like to add Ken O'Keefe to this group. You'll find his videos on YouTube, and you will find that he's often angry, and at least somebody is. So I say thank you to Sophie Scholl and the other members of the White Rose in Nazi Germany, and to Penn Jones, to Jim Fetzer, Jim Tracy, Kevin Barrett, Scott Creighton, Debbie Lusignan, Frank Cordero, and all those who fight day by day against the United States military and deep state so that the little light of truth remains lit for one more day. And finally, I recommend the Israel issue of Penn Magazine, now available at pennmagazine.us. Our first guest of the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa, the Des Moines Catholic Worker, and talks to us about resistance and faithfulness and et cetera, et cetera. And we're happy and lucky to be able to talk to Frank each week. And thank you, Chuck, for doing all this work. And now Frank Cordero and Chuck Gregory.
Yo, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I was on deck to make food today, and I made some really dynamite chicken with fresh green beans and mashed potatoes. It's gone now. I mean, it was the 3 o'clock meal, so I'm resting a bit in my room, and I'm trying to think between now and last week. We've had a second sign painting effort here in Iowa, a second billboard. Let's see. I'll read the release. It's a second altered U.S. Army billboard on the southeast corner of Northeast 14th Street and Northeast 44th Avenue, June 10th. And it says, we received the below statement with this address and with the photo. And let me tell you, the photo is a how do you describe it? It's a army a photo with a military personnel in army fatigues flying a flag in sunset. And it says, earn respect up to $40,000 in bonuses if you qualify. GoArmy.com. Right under it, it says, no respect with the peace sign. And here's the statement from the artist. This is my second effort at sending an important message to my fellow Iowans, especially the people in Des Moines. As long as Iowa continues to accept being a part of an active war zone through the Drone Command Center, there can be no respect for serving in the military in the state of Iowa. Our Iowa Drone Command connects Iowa to war crimes committed every day. I encourage others to speak the truth about the power of money and lies in Iowa and join me in this campaign. Signed, a concerned Christian political artist. He's staying anonymous so he can continue his work, and we're going to continue to promote it and encourage it. We're talking about political speech now, and for Catholic workers, we connect with political speech on the street. That's what we do. And billboards are political speech on the street. And what billboards tell us is people with money can tell you lies. They do it all the time. We're used to lies. It's what advertisement is built on, lies. So it's legal. Okay, I'll go there. However, we have an active war zone in Des Moines. We're killing people from space, committing war crimes, and no one's talking about it. How are we going to get people's attention? So these are desperate acts from people like Catholic workers who see these acts as trying to break the facade of the law, the lie that's overpowering us at the street level. And we're in our second billboard, and there's no reason to stop. We'll see what happens.
Well, that's certainly something.
It made it in the Des Moines Register and one of the local TV channels, too.
Hey, now that is new, because the first time they
didn't care.
It didn't happen, right?
Right. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Okay, then.
Yes.
Progress.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
And then we're going to start weekly vigils again on Saturday, 1 hour at the site. So we're going to, which is going to be another subtle summer campaign. We have some new people who are interns, younger people, going to spend the summer with us. So we'll have some added energy. That's always nice. So,
good.
It's always work too, but that's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Chuck.
Frank, thanks for the update. And, hey, I look forward to talking to you again next time.
We'll keep you posted.
Okay.
We'll keep you posted on the billboards.
Excellent.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And now we join In Progress, another episode of The Americans.
Entire Nutt administration has been busy as of late, organizing the annual summer picnic on the White House lawn with the theme this year, dollar signs, tanks, and boobs. All are working under the guidance of First Lady Imelda Nutt to get everything just right. From the dollar sign seven-layer cakes with the Republican showgirls popping out extravaganza in the Rose Garden, to the U.S. Army tanks and only tanks and random home search parade, to go down every street in Washington, D.C., and end up with the 1,000 tank lineup on Pennsylvania Avenue with guns pointing out at the rest of America, to the 1 million boob points of light for America, the culmination of the big event, where 1 million colored boob balloons will be launched from the White House lawn, each with a winking light inside, blinking, blinking high in the night sky to spread out over the city and the nation, signifying what this country is all about. And we have reports of those million blinking boob balloons floating over America, so beautiful, so poignant, and 12 people wrote country songs, well, the same song. But anyway, I'm proud to be an American boob, and that's all I want to be, and nobody can tell me where to pee, even behind a tree where nobody can see. And I'll proudly stand right next to you and pee behind that tree, and come on over here, dude, I think there's room for three, peeing behind this tree. God bless America. And now we have a winner. The American Yahoo who found the boo balloon that landed the farthest away from the big White House lives in Paducah, Kazakhstan. His name is Yakov, the town rapist, who grew up in Muncie, Indiana, and has a master's degree in tourism from Penn State. Yakov will soon be traveling to Washington to receive the Medal of Freedom from United States President Cosmo Nutt. Stay tuned to this channel.
Our next guest of the show is Phil Ferruccio. Phil Ferruccio comes to us each week from Port Orange, Florida. And now Chuck and Phil.
Good evening, Working Stiffs. To protect and serve the empire, writer Eric Zeus wrote a great new piece, How Democracy Ended, seen on a few fine websites. In it, he shows how our U.S. so-called democracy is really a scam controlled by the super rich. When all else fails to stop a political momentum, the two parties have always resorted to the fix is in. To this writer, the fix that Zeus alludes to is deeply nesting in both our mainstream media and our elected and enabling two-party structure. The police have a wonderful saying, to protect and serve. In many cases, witnessed at times throughout the years by this writer, local police have done just that. But sadly, in just as many instances, they have protected and served the private property and rights of the super rich. Remembering the great labor disputes spanning perhaps since the beginning of our republic, it was always the cops who came in on the side of the corporate few. It has always been as if the corporate domain was the castle and the striking workers the barbarians. Instead of being there to protect and serve both adversaries, the police always stood in front of the bosses versus the working stiffs. Well, we have that in spades in not only our mainstream corporate-owned and operated media, but also in the three branches of government. The mainstream media was always controlled, but since 9/11, it went on steroids. Most of us who actually study history from the non-mainstream sources knew that the Iraq debacle was based on hearsay and fabricated lies and half-truths. That whole war on terror was what the great Gore Vidal named perpetual war. Wars keep the natives in line. Wars make lots of money for a select corporate few. Read General Smedley Butler's 1935 essay, War is a Racket. And wars help justify our obscene and bloated military spending, like over 50% of our federal tax money. And who serves this war economy so well? Well, the media and, of course, the Congress. Most of the members of Congress are very wealthy people, especially in the Senate. Regardless of that, they rely on the donations of the super rich through personal and PAC money to fund their reelections. The late Senator Paul Simon of Illinois once stated, quote, "When I go out on the campaign trail and I come back to my hotel room, I usually have a whole bunch of messages. I go through them, and unfortunately, but honestly, if I see the name of someone who has given me large donations to my campaign, I do call that person first. Sadly, that's the way it is." Senator Simon was actually one of the most progressive senators at that time, and he knew the realities. Money talks. And that was in the late 80s and early 90s. Now it's 100 times worse. You watch the hearings on C-SPAN, and all you see are talking heads speaking not for their constituents, rather for their corporate handlers from both parties. We are about to enter as a nation into an economic abyss and hopefully not a new hot war. All those who are there to protect and serve this empire will give us more of the same. Hype, spin, lies, and half-truths. Thank you.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I watch them roll away again. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I had nothing to live for. Looked like nothing gonna come my way, so I'm gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Looks like nothing gonna change, everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Message. find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now for another episode of Just Living the Dream, episodes in the lives of real Americans. In one room, we've got the guys watching a football game after Thanksgiving dinner. In another room, we've got the gals watching Wheel of Fortune. They're all talking about the same things they talked about last year. One by one, like astronauts lost in space, they lose consciousness from the turkey and the stuffing and the pie and begin to doze. Downstairs and outside, we've got the kids shooting each other with toy guns. All the cars parked in the driveway and up and down the street. A gentle seesaw snoring sound can be heard coming from the house. The guys or the gals or the kids don't see the tanks rumbling down the street, moving toward them in soldiers and police in full combat gear, crouching behind their cars. They don't hear the helicopters overhead or the snipers clanging the swings in the jungle gym. They don't hear the tiny yelp of their dog as a SWAT member slices its throat with a quick, practiced motion. Tune in next week for another episode of Just Living the Dream, episodes in the lives of real Americans. And now we return to the adventures of Mark in his parents' basement, covered in Cheetos dust. He has just had a thought. He sends an email to the world and one to the local newspaper that will rock everything. When Boston came along, he said, this is how bad it was for me. I said, okay, what do they want for me to believe? Not turn on the news, let's see what's happening. I have taken to comparing it to the Andy Griffith Show. Once, most police were Andy Taylor, who didn't need a gun to maintain the police. Even really bad guys could be dealt with calmly. Now they all seem to want to be Barney Fife, except just back from SEALs training, prone to roid rage. They like getting the whole RoboCop thing going on. Remember the episode when Andy had to be out of town for a couple of days? And when he returns, Barney has essentially the whole town in jail. Today, the jaywalker could easily be shot, not locked up, much less let go, as Andy would have done it. It's sad to see that transformation we have undergone. No way to reverse it. Tragic. Mark looks over what he has written. Nice, he says. He presses send because he is conspiracy theory man, the man of La Mancha. And now, a message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Notes we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. From Buzz Lightyear in Roswell, New Mexico, we hear, you have to try CE5. It's real. Check out the YouTube videos and go try outside your own self. CE5, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, Human-Initiated Contact with Extraterrestrials. You'll be glad you did.
From Richard Dolan, we hear, we can't trust anything that comes out of any United States government official's mouth at all, not ever, not under George W. Bush, not under Obama, not under Trump. The UFO reality is so deep, it is so revolutionary, it is so disturbing, it's caused so much profound criminal secrecy over an entire human lifetime. It's literally not possible, legally, to officially disclose this without a lot of heads rolling politically. A lot of people would be angry about being lied to for over 70 years. On top of that, you've got the revolutionary implications of the transfer of our energy paradigm, which certainly would happen in the aftermath of a genuine disclosure. Whatever these objects are using to travel, it's not petroleum. Whatever it is, it's going to be better than what we have. That portends a complete revolution to our society in ways that are unimaginable to the power structure. Beyond that, there are countless ramifications to disclosure, all of which are revolutionary. And if there's one thing the hierarchical elite does not want, it is a revolution.
A message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Notes we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. And now it's time for Revolution College. Information for the Revolution, offered Thursday nights in the basement of the abandoned Humanities building. The Revolution will not be televised, but it will be offered as upper-level credit. Course description, what the hell is going on out here? Vince Lombardi. Well, there's a note tacked to the door. It says, the Revolution has been canceled. Everyone go dancing. And now, cue the Rimsky-Korsakov, please. And now for another episode of Professor Rutherford P. Roswell's Conspiracy Corner. We find Professor Rutherford P. Roswell sitting at home getting ready to begin his weekly podcast from his basement, imitation cedar panel man cave. He has his computer and his headset and professional-looking microphone with the fireplace glowing in front of him and his English setter, Apollo, lying on the carpeted floor, feet straight in the air, sound asleep. Professor Roswell checks the time on the computer, sips his drowsy time tea, swivels in his chair and draws the Crown Royal single malt from the glass case, turns back, sprinkles a dash into the tea, and sets the bottle on the floor near his feet. All around on the walls hang dusty photos of Roswell and the important people he has interviewed over the decades. He receives an email notification from the network telling him the show will start soon. He smiles as he types salutations to the many listeners now showing up in the chat room from around the world. Skagway, hello, Roslyn, hi there all. Sleepmute, Sicily, Mayberry, Virginia City, hello. College Station, Beverly Hills, Barstow, Columbia Heights, Foggy Bottom, Rocky Top, Bear Creek, Sandy Holler, Alsace, Genoa, Venice, Vicksburg. Hello, hello, welcome, hello. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now with your host, Professor Rutherford P. Roswell, it's time again for Conspiracy Corner, sponsored by Drowsy Time Tea, because sometimes it's the best you can do. It's all you can do. You did your best. Just hold some hot tea in your tired hands close to your chest and slowly fall asleep. Sleep, sleep. Maybe put the hot cup on the desk. Sleep, sleep. Drowsy Time Tea. Forget about it. And sleep.
You. Stop whatever it is you're doing, because it really doesn't matter. As long as the persistent lie about the JFK, RFK, and MLK murders persists in this country, nothing you do, working out, going to work, eating, sleeping, talking, none of it matters. Really doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. None of it matters. You do not matter. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to all. So glad you're here. Get right to it, shall we? It's true. It's all true. It's a conspiracy theory. I have to sit back, even me, try to comprehend what that means, even after all these years. anyone who believes in the latest fairy tale, Santa Fe, must also believe in Rudolph, Mrs. Santa, the elves. It's all fake. Big hoax. Such a gigantic lie, this life. I really don't think I can put my head around it, even yet, as they say. I'm trying. It means wow. Just wow. Words can't really describe it. I can tell you your newspapers are controlled, your television news. Those are just words. It's different, much different to stop and actually realize what that is. I can tell you that your government's more like a mafia organization than a government, but Bobby Kennedy, 50th anniversary. We still hear on the TV and the newspapers and radio about Sirhan Sirhan. Nothing of the evidence compiled in those 50 years by unpaid real journalists who could, would, and have been telling us. Still, we hear the lie broadcast loud and clear for 50 years, right in front of us. Folks, the emperor has no clothes, not a stitch. He's been naked for 50 years and more, and yet, well, something so important to our lives, everything, will not, cannot be mentioned out loud in the cafe, in church, in the kitchen, in America. And so we know it's all true. What's all true? That it's all contrived. The conspiracies we're told, they're loony. We know about the background about that now because of the CIA memo telling agents and compromised news agencies to deal with people like Mark Lane, people like Jim Garrison, people like Jim Fetzer, Kevin Barrett, James Tracy. It's really much worse than we can imagine, than we dare to imagine. But I think we should try. I think we'd all be better served by silence than by another heaping helping of information tonight.
Conspiracy Corner, sponsored by Drowsy Time Tea. Because sometimes it's the best you can do. It's all you can do. You did your best. Forget about it and just sleep. Our next guest on the show is Richard Flamer. Richard Flamer joins us each month from San Cristobal de las Casas, Chiapas, Mexico, at the Chiapas Catholic Worker, affiliated with the Des Moines Catholic Worker. Richard has been down there for many years. He comes back and forth. He drives up here to get some work and to make some money. He goes back down. I think now, I'm pretty sure Richard is down in Chiapas. And we're going to hear from Richard Flamer in Chiapas, Mexico, right about now.
Just a second. We're getting that right now. Here we go.
Good evening.
Good evening, Richard. Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show, and you are on the air.
I wanted to briefly talk about politics here, because it's so strange. Nestora Salgado is a hardworking Mexican, now American. That is, she went to the U.S. as a single woman with no papers, but through hard work, she became a U.S. citizen and returned to her hometown in Guerrero. On her return, she began a life of public service. She was asked to head up a local vigilante committee to halt the drug violence in her town. The local police were part of the drug problem. She set to the task at one point arresting five local girls, throwing them to jail. She wrote letters to the parents telling them the girls would be released with a 5,000 peso fine. The problem of drugs has decreased in her town. She's now running for the Mexican Senate as candidate for the Morena Party, headed by Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador. Charges were filed of kidnapping and extortion by the federal court, but later transferred to the Inter-American Court of the Organization of American States, who ended up finding her innocent of the charges because of the state laws of Guerrero giving her the right. Though the federal courts have different laws. As I mentioned in some of my past radio talks, the indigenous population in Mexico mostly on the ejidos or communal lands, have a different set of rules in the game of governance. That is, uses and customs vary from ejido to ejido, but they generally revolve around what has been done in the past. It's kind of make up the rules as you go kind of justice. The issue in the case of Mistura Salgado is a maze for legal scholars. First of all, she's an American citizen, not a member of the ejido. Which laws apply? Three sets of laws are at play. That is, that's why the case went to the Inter-American Court. State laws of Guerrero allow citizens to operate the vigilante patrols. Uses and customs allow the latitude on ejido lands. And finally, federal laws on kidnapping. The case of Nestor Salgado has arisen chiefly by the PRI party as a propaganda tool in the campaign Jose Antonio Meade for the presidential campaign. Directed against Andres Manuel Obrador and the Morena party, who championed the woman in her struggle against the drug problems of Guerrero. The issue raised the support by Lopez Obrador has brought condemnation by the head of the Federal Human Rights Commission, among others. The feminists, on the other hand, are all behind her. The case of Nestor Salgado has also raised the whole issue of uses and customs in South Mexico. The abuses of the system are varied, but essentially the federal police cannot enter ejido lands without permission of the leaders of the lands. That federal presence is also violated in some rare cases. A nearby ejido kidnapped and beat two federal policemen to use in a trade for the release of one of their leaders jailed for a killing outside the ejido. The police ran 300 troops into the ejido, recovering their two comrades and arrested the four men holding them prisoners. The same ejido has a rule that says it's okay to beat your wife so long as she doesn't die. Federal laws are rarely applied on indigenous lands. Kind of schizophrenia rules Mexico during this time of elections. The face of Ricardo Anaya, a young businessman, is everywhere. His ads are endless. His face and annoying voice are on the radio, the television. His images on the billboards. He has the solid support of the manufacturing and the supporters of NAFTA, the free trade agreement with Canada and the U.S. Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, or AMLO to most, is castigated by big business, not only in Mexico, but by the U.S. press as well. He's a populist and makes no claims in denying his sympathy and service to the middle class and the poor. Practically all his speeches are criticized, though he has the support of most of the poor, at least those who vote. Jose Antonio Meade has served three different political parties, but is generally seen as the representative of the PRI, the party currently holding power. Meade is probably the only candidate the PRI could nominate who seems to be free of scandal. Bronco, or Jaime Rodrigo Calderon, is the former governor of Nuevo León and is running as an independent. He seems to be closer to U.S. President Donald Trump than the other candidates with his pronouncements in the first presidential debate to cut off the hands of any thief convicted. By the third presidential debate, he was basically out of the running. The different candidates represent, to some extent, the schizophrenia of the geographical split of Mexico. In the north, the states that abut the U.S., there's a growing middle class, tired of the drug wars, yet they experience the drug violence every day. Bronco and his extreme response is very typical of that culture. Most of the voting would be split between Ricardo and Maya with his business interests. The mine owners of the North are already telling the miners they have to vote for Anaya or they might lose their jobs. While the general population, including the poor along the border, will probably vote for him, though, because he's seen as one of them. In the center of the country, including Mexico City, there's a quasi-civilized population of upper middle and upper class who see only dollars and pesos. Jose Antonio Meade and the PRI party have many of their stalwart campaigners working in the neighborhoods, should be well represented in the final polls. Well, AMLO is a former mayor of Mexico City and has many followers amongst the poorer communities. And then there are the indigenous populations of the South. Guerrero, Chiapas, and Oaxaca are the poor and mostly ignored by state and federal governments. AMLO will be a clear winner if the indigenous decide to vote. That is, during the time of the last two elections, the Zapatista forces suggested to all the folks they've met and worked with to boycott the election since the system is so corrupt that anyone who is elected is a bad choice. The violence has increased tremendously in this electoral year. 2017 records show that the year was the worst in murders, kidnappings, and other serious crimes in modern times. However, 2018 is sure to be the worst on record. A new phenomenon has taken place with the killing of official of office holders and candidates. As of June 12, 112 political folks have been killed since January. Many of the deaths are related to longstanding feuds between extended families and smaller communities, sort of like the Hatfield and the McCoys. The supposition is that with the candidate out in the spotlight, he or she is an easy target. Impunity here in Mexico is an everyday occurrence, especially now while Mexico is changing its legal system from the old Napoleonic code to a more modern system, not unlike what the U.S. is supposed to have, in theory at least. Lots of crimes have slipped through the cracks of the system, especially at the local and regional level. Of course, there's still the problems of the wealthy families buying their way out of the problems. Local communities put up roadblocks to get attention for their non-productive local officials, literally closing roads. Last week, 4 miles from our farm, a small community blocked the main road and threatened to lynch the mayor. The state treasurer went to mediate, saying the federal monies he administers for the state had been sent to the local mayor, but the mayor had refused to release the funds for road repair, repair the water mains, etc. After 6 hours of a blocked road and much negotiation, the mayor was released. Local construction started the following day. Since the mayor's term expires in December, he apparently was thinking using those construction funds for his own needs. Then there are the drug lord killings. That is, in some communities where the drug business flourishes, some candidates are outspoken about the need to clean up the system. If they have a chance of winning, they're amongst the victims of the recent violence. In the midst of all this chaos, there's the issue of police. Local mayors have control over the funding of the police. Additionally, many of the extended families of the mayor and his cronies end up being on the local force. There's a low pay always associated with the police. The only way for the local police to make a living is by the infamous mordidas, or bribes. The patrol people have to pay their sergeant a portion of the bribes every week. The sergeant has to pay the lieutenant, while the lieutenant has to pay the captain or chief of police. In the end, the local police don't enforce any of the laws when it comes to heavy-duty crime. In many cases of kidnapping, murder for hire, etc., the local police have been participants. In the border state of Tamaulipas last year, the entire police force was suspended in Matamoros. 100 officers were administered lie detector tests. The firearms of all 100 were tested, and it turns out that 28 officers were connected through their handguns to over 50 unsolved murders in the city. Incidentally, of those 100 officers, only 22 were rehired. Increasingly, drug lords are not only bribing the officers and local politicians, but are starting to put candidates to run for representatives and senators on the federal level, governors and local representatives on the state level. None of the above point specifically to an answer for the killing of politicians. I personally think it's probably a combination of a number of reasons. Part of the problem, along with corruption, lack of transparency, and the level of the corruption on every socioeconomic strata, this whole nature of federalism. It sort of reminds me of Ronald Reagan's voodoo economics. The federal government controls the flow of money to the states. There's very little way for the states to govern with independence, that is, without oversight or dominance by the federal government, unless, of course, you're part of the political party of the ruling elite, in which case you get away with stealing billions of pesos and dollars, since there is no oversight from your own party who happen to be in power. Anyone who claims to understand life in Chiapas is nuts. The conflicts are continuous on all levels. The Indians fighting other Indians on the boundary of their lands. Evangelicals fighting over land Catholics, not over religion, but over the rights of distribution of moonshine. The moonshiners are fighting the federal government over the liquor tax. There are land invasions by the poor, except the poor are not really poor. They own other lands and houses, see the invasions as a way of expanding their holding. Private lands they are invading don't belong to the rich. They're either public lands with forests, parks, and Emerson Springs used as water for the city, or their lands of the middle class. The other side to it all is that chaos is a natural part of every day. No one has a clue about the presidential politics, other than the intellectuals in Mexico have their polls, etc. But the good news is that whomever is elected as Mexico's new president can't be as immoral, as clueless, or as much of an asshole as Donald Trump.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good line to end on.
It does. Take care, Chuck, and I'll talk to you next month.
Thanks, bye.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship.
You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth.
You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest to the show is Jim Fetzer. Jim Fetzer joins us each month from Madison, Wisconsin. Jim is a retired professor, a philosophy professor. He's also a reporter, a radio show host. You can find his writings at jimfetzer.blogspot.com. And now Jim Fetzer from Madison, Wisconsin.
Chuck, Mike, great to be back with you guys again. Stupid things are taking place. The American Medical Association has endorsed sweeping gun control measures without having done any research whatsoever. They don't seem to understand they're being played by these Democratic National Committee-sponsored events. You can go back as far as Sandy Hook to get the straight skinny on what's going on here, where Barack Obama, Eric Holder, even Joe Biden were in on it. Connecticut State Police were running it. We have a credit service shutting down payments on all gun purchases, something called Intuit. Very embarrassing they would be doing this. You got to ignore these kinds of nonsense. We also have the celebration of the Orlando shooting, where there's supposed to have been 50 killed and 53 injured. But it's complete nonsense. We know that the Pulse permit had expired 3 years before the shooting. We know that over 300 patients were allegedly inside a club with only 150 legal occupancy. We know the Pulse only had 11 parking spaces. You can check it out from an aerial photograph. If there had been over 300 packed into this little building and only 11 parking spaces, it would have been abandoned cars all over the place, but they weren't there. We also had no string of ambulances to rush victims to the hospital to be declared dead or alive. There were many obvious crisis actors carrying each other toward the club rather than away from the club. Harrison Hanks has done a brilliant piece about, crisis, quality crisis acting, where he actually includes several of the crisis actors from Orlando. And it's completely absurd. The Orlando Regional Medical Center declared it wasn't going to charge for services rendered. When's the last time you heard of a hospital not charging for a Band-Aid? It's because they didn't render any services. It's all completely shameless. They put out a new video in an attempt to, bolster the case for it having been a real event. And yet you can see that the spacing, you know, when there were over 300 jam-packed, they would have been like sardines, and yet they're very loosely related to one another. Lots of rooms can't possibly have been from the Orlando, and there's no date time stamp on it. You got video that's supposed to show the shooter, no date time stamp on it. There's other footage that does have date time stamps, but equally revealing because it doesn't show a mass of cars all over the place. This is one of several videos that have been released here to prop up these fake shooting events, including in Las Vegas, where you have a SWAT team breaking into the Stephen Paddock suite on the 32nd floor. And when they do a count, remember, we were told there were 23 long weapons, you know. I mean, it appeared to be a veritable arsenal. Well, they do the count, and it's only 13. The reports, you know, he was supposed to have broken out the windows to fire on the crowd, but the police there inside the suite are reporting no broken windows. Not only that, but remember, we saw photographs of the body on the floor, in a handful of shell casings, only a couple of dozen where Scott Bennett, a former U.S. Army Intel and PsyOps officer, had observed that there were there were blank shell casings and CO2 cartridges for gas-propelled pellet guns in the mix, where Intel Hub had reported that the body didn't appear to be that of Stephen Paddock because Paddock's earlobes connected straight to his body, but these are detached. And where, in addition, we had the autopsy report that the man who was subjected to autopsy was only 71 inches long, meaning 6'1", when we have Alaska State hunting and fishing license showing Paddock was 6'4". I mean, it's embarrassing how bad they've become at doing all this phony baloney stuff. I have recently done with Kerry Cassidy another news analysis on fake news and false flags with updates. You can find it was done on the 31st of May, 7 p.m. Kerry's put it up on BitChute. So you want to go to BitChute for an update on these events. You'll see how horrendous it's become. I want everyone to bear in mind, too, that we have had major breakthroughs about Sandy Hook. We have been able to establish not only that Noah Posner was made up out of photographs of Michael Vabner, who was supposed to be his older stepbrother when he was a child, but we have additional proof now that, as Kelly Watt was the first to surmise, that Lenny Posner actually was Michael Vabner's father, real father, Reuben Vabner, which explains, and this is utterly fascinating to me, why, when the Dark Net, which is an internet program, well, actually, it's on Showtime, doing, you know, studies of the use and abuse of the internet, did a program on Sandy Hook. They came to my home to film me. The definition of my face in those videos is as clear and exact as any I have ever seen in any video production involving me, and I have seen quite a few. But where Lenny Posner refused to allow his face to be shown, giving them the song and dance, he didn't want his image to be used, put up on the internet. But really, now we see in retrospect, it's because others, seeing his face, would recognize it was Reuben Vabner, not Lenny Posner at all. Because Lenny Posner is a fiction just as much as Noah Posner was a fiction, just as Noah was made up of photographs of Michael Vabner as a child. Lenny Posner actually is the father of Michael Vabner, which is why you had photographs that were supposed to be of Lenny with Noah, but it was actually Reuben with Michael, and which is why now he's sought to not allow his face to be shown someone, and it may even be Michael Vabner himself, because he has a background with IT, web management, and so forth at the University of Connecticut Stores. where, by the way, his webpage shows him all grown up. I mean, look, it's fascinating stuff. Wolfgang Halbig has produced photographs of 8 of the Sandy Hook girls. They're looking real cute and perky, very much alive and well. He has another of even more of the Sandy Hook girls and 4 of the Sandy Hook boys, one of whom is rather obviously Michael Vabner, a.k.a. Noah Posner. And now it turns out Michael Vabner has his own website. I mean, he's graduated from college. He had a website in order to seek a job. And it's clear as a bell that this is one and the same person that was used to model for Noah Posner. So you got the AMA being played because it's massively ignorant in its arrogance that things can go out there and make pronouncements about gun control without doing any study, any research, not realizing these are controlled events. And of course, Parkland was blown out of the water long since. You want to view the Parkland puzzle, how the pieces fit together, which is at 153news.net. Also on Vimeo, you can find it there, but where Mona Alexis Presley is doing a great job of posting these blogs that are being taken down again and again and again, you can find on Steemit, STEEMIT.com, for Mona Alexis, MONAALEX, Mona Alex. You'll find Sandy Hook, a Michael Vabner website, shows Noah Posner all grown up. And in addition, again on Steemit, STEEMIT.com, Mona Alex, Sandy Hook, not only is Noah Posner a fiction, but his father, Lendy, is also a fake. You'll find him there. In addition, another about the New York Times, which has just proven to be a propaganda outlet. New York Times exemplifies post-truth era by declaring war on Sandy Hook truth, where I lay out much of the evidence and these images that are being taken down again and again and again because they reveal the extent of the hoax. So I want to encourage you to do that. I also want to commend Mike for the brilliant work he's doing on Penn Magazine. I am in awe. Mike is doing completely brilliant work with Penn, and the latest issue he has on 1984, which is just being released now, I think it may literally be out tomorrow, if not today, does brilliant stuff about Parkland, Santa Fe, publishing some of these images that are being taken down from my blog again and again and again. So I want to say, Mike Palachek, you have my admiration. I'm in awe of the work you're doing with Penn Magazine. It's a magnificent job. And you and Chuck are doing a great work here with the New American Dream. I'm very proud to be here, to be a part of it. Very glad to be associated with you guys. Look for Penn Magazine, 1984-ish. Wonderful stuff. More government terrorism, Parkland and Santa Fe high schools. Check it out. It's free and available online. You don't want to miss it. Great to be with you guys once again today.
For another episode of the adventures of deputy and candidate for sheriff of Pecan County, Buddy Q. Twinkle. Buddy is usually patrolling the War on Terror Memorial Highway in South Central Alabama. And you're going to have to bear with me while I fix this. Okay, there we are. Buddy is usually patrolling the War on Terror Memorial Highway in South Central Alabama. He's usually sitting in a grove of trees next to a rotting deer carcass. Can't see a thing, but he can hear that the highway is packed from all the noise. He usually cranks the Bolshoi Ballet in his earbuds as he snacks on the boiled potatoes he bought for break time. Also sneaks a peek at the crayfish buckwheat blintzes he packed for his lunch. He's usually got his personal phone pressed to his ear, waiting for a call to St. Petersburg to go through. And the scanner is running, waiting for a message from the Kremlin. But now he's on summer vacation in Branson, Missouri. He gets mud on his feet, sits in a hotel hot tub and pool, stands in line at the free breakfast buffet, causing people to wait. Changes the TV from Fox News to Sesame Street. He leaves half-empty donuts on many different tables. Goes from table to table while people watch him with growing visceral venom, beginning to discuss among each other. Planning to tackle him as a group, tie his hands and feet, stuff a donut in his mouth, and leave him in the hallway under the checkout counter for Homeland Security. Buddy miraculously escapes, rides the elevator all the way to the top, all the way down, taking forever, right at checkout time. Buddy is a Russian spy. Stay tuned for next week's episode of The Adventures of Deputy and Candidate for Sheriff of Pecan County, Buddy Q. Twinkle. Sponsored by Lemon Fresh Borax, also sponsors of On Babushka Kalashnikov's Corner, The View from My Piroshki Cart. When your dogs tell you the Russians pooped in the hallway while you were at work, and the Democrats tell you, no, we didn't rig the elections against Bernie Sanders. We did not commit treason, dozens of felonies. We didn't conspire against the American people. Look over there, Russians. We're there for you, protecting the homeland. Lemon, fresh borax in the fading yellow box.
Our next guest of the show is Thomas Wertmann. Thomas Wertmann joins us each month from Cleveland, Ohio. Thomas is the director of the Ohio MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, and we're going to attempt to contact Thomas Wertmann in Cleveland right about now.
Hello?
Well, hello, Thomas. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Great. What I did tonight is I went to our website at www.mufon.com, and I was going through some of the news stories that they had there, and so that your listeners know, they can go into that website and they can look at recent reports. They can also check out reports which have been investigated. And the ones I pulled up were submitted for investigation. Researchers followed up on it, our investigators did, and they came up with basically some determinations on what happened. One of the ones that caught my eye right away happened in my own home state of Ohio. What happened was, is there's a witness in an area called Oak Harbor, which is up by Lake Erie, and he reported watching a UFO hover over Davis-Besse nuclear power plant. Now, it says, according to witness testimony, the witness reported, in this case, driving past Davis-Besse nuclear power plant after visiting a family member at 3 a.m. in the morning. Now, this happened on October 29th of 2017. They noticed something floating up and down above the reactor. They said that the witness pulled off the side of the road and did this for maybe, the object continued doing this for maybe about 3 to 4 more minutes before it finally flew up about 50 feet and seemingly just to hover slowly over the buildings. Now, there were 6 lights, 2 at each corner, a white and a blue light side by side on the corners, and the blue light, they said, would brighten when the white light would dim, and then vice versa. Now, it did this for a few minutes and then just shot away at a 45-degree angle so fast it looked like a streak of blue light. Now, they said that they heard no noise except for a pulsating, vibrating sensation in their ears until it shot away. Now, the witness says, I never believed in extraterrestrial life until that night. Now he's convinced, and he was in such shock at what he saw, he didn't even think about even taking a photograph. Now, here's a line that really caught my attention. It says, of course, my two friends were passed out drinking after drinking all night in the back of my car. Now, I saw that, and I'm like, okay. Now, if you didn't know more about the story, you'd think, okay, probably the guys are all drunk out there and seeing things. This Davis-Besse power plant, though, happens to be, in this case, in the same vicinity where I have a friend of mine who lives. And she's a retired scientist from British Petroleum. She also reported seeing the same object. And when we talked about it, she says, well, you know, on one hand, could it be a drone? Well, we couldn't really prove it was a drone or not. Also, her son saw it on different nights. So it wasn't just like it'd been there once, it'd been there multiple times. I also had another witness in the same vicinity who saw the same object. So now we've got roughly about four witnesses reporting seeing something over this power plant. The investigator tried turning over everything he could to come up with an answer. And he was just left down to the point of saying, hey, I have no idea what this is. It appears to be some sort of an aerial vehicle. I don't know what. And hopefully we'll be able to get some equipment down the road to maybe get a little bit better look at this thing and potentially identify, if we can, what this object is. Now, there's another case I also saw that came in the MUFON. This one happened to be a military helicopter that was reported chasing a massive object. Now, this was seen from the ground. It says a witness, a North Carolina witness at Wake Forest, reported watching a helicopter chasing a massive, oval-shaped object, according to a testimony. Now, the witness was outside at 10:10 p.m. on September 28th of 2017. And the reason some of these dates go back to 2017 is the cases be able to discuss determinations and so forth. They have to be closed. We don't discuss open cases. Now, it says the witness lives in a rural farm area about 20 miles outside of Raleigh, near a town of Wake Forest. The witness and his daughter were had been over for dinner. And as she was getting ready to have to leave, the witness escorted his daughter out to the car, and they were standing outside having a conversation when at a distance they could hear the sound of a helicopter. Now, it says they looked towards the sky where the sound was coming from. They could see the lights of a helicopter approaching at a distance. They said the lights on the helicopter appeared to be blue. Now, the witness was unsure exactly how far this object away. And that is kind of a tough thing to tell at night. It says sometimes things are farther away than what they really appear. But he could clearly see that it was a helicopter facing him broadside. And as they were watching it, they also said they appeared to see an object in the vicinity of that helicopter. They'd watched the helicopter for roughly about 20 seconds. It began to turn towards their position and accelerate rapidly. And they said the witness also noticed the helicopter seemed to be a large twin rotor craft. Now, he had the sense it was military. He could plainly see the blue lights fore and aft on the helicopter. And one thing that struck him was that the helicopter is flying extremely fast for something with rotors. Now, it said that as the helicopter passed by him, he said to his daughter, he says, it looks like it's chasing something. From his best observation, what he could make, he said the object appeared to be yellow, round, faintly glowing, almost like a ball. And it appeared that the helicopter is trying to catch up to this object. And it says as you follow the helicopter, it was going from left to right, and they could also see the moon out in the distance. Now, only because of that moment the moon was lighting the sky, they said they could see the helicopter was chasing what appeared to be a massive black craft and what he described as basically an oval-shaped object on there. And said he thought it was probably larger than a commercial airline, perhaps the size of maybe two-thirds of a football field. The craft was not completely round, but more of an oval shape. He could clearly see it. And although it only lasted a short time, it appeared to be having no wings. And there's absolutely no sound from this object. The only thing he heard was the sound of the helicopter. Now, he'd estimate that the helicopter was basically about 400 to 500 yards maybe behind this thing. And as he kept watching it, he really had the gut feeling that the helicopter wasn't really chasing it, but it was actually trying to catch up to it and maybe escort it to some location on there. Now, the investigators, again, tried to follow up, and when they did their research on it, they looked for, in this case, any aircraft they could find in the region on there, which they found none. And their determination was, in this case, that, again, they had no idea what this was. The witness said he saw the object. It was large. They didn't have anything that they found, in this case, aerial, like aircraft, helicopters. They picked up on different flight tracking software. And it doesn't say it couldn't be military, because we don't necessarily have access to military. But here again, another unknown case. We get roughly, off the top of my head, I know here in Ohio, we may get about 20 cases a month, 30 cases a month. And across the country, we're getting roughly, in this case, probably about 800 cases a month coming to MUFON. And just so that your listeners know, if they happen to see something themselves, then go to our website at www.mufon.com, and a investigator will follow up with them on their sighting. And I've got one more in here. And this, in this case, the witness reported a larger craft over in rural Washington State. Now, in this case, the witness reported watching a large silver craft hovering about 2,000 feet in front of a mountain, according to the testimony. Now, the witness is driving a pickup with his wife northwest along Sunset Highway at 7:20 p.m. on July 20th of last year. And it says, as they sat down, the green light pointing at the, they saw a green light pointing at the stationary craft. It said it shot straight upwards and was gone in just the blink of an eye. This happened around 7-ish in the evening on air. It had the shape of one of those old camera film cartridges. Now, that's an interesting shape to describe something in. There were no signs of thrust at all, just an all-over sliver like a mirror. And I think it really meant to say silver like a mirror. Anyone else... did anyone else see anything like this? Yesterday, they also saw a Black Hawk helicopter in the area. No tail numbers, no markings, and it appeared to be flying over the region. In this case, they're questioning whether that Black Hawk helicopter is flying in a region to look again for these objects that happen to be out there. We get reports like this all the time. I've got another one here, just we may run out of time. But in this case, this happened to be in a pilot. Says in this case he saw one hovering over Fort Rucker. Now, a Fort Rucker pilot reported observing a oddly shaped circular object over the Alabama Army base, according to testimony. The witness had just finished physical training and was standing around talking to two friends.
That was very interesting and awesome.
Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
0-9-E-0-5-1-7-3. We talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, a message in a Boone's Farm Bottle. Messages we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. From Gordy in Granville, we get this. I am not against war. I am a combat veteran. I sit on my tail, watch TV, go to restaurants, and have fond, delusional memories about Vietnam. In my bedroom closet, I have a trash bag. It is never opened. It has been there for years. It has, along with other military mementos, a small green government-issued address book. Marines long ago scrawled their names in it. Half of them never came back from Vietnam, never had children, grandchildren, got to finish college or even high school. Many, maybe most, had never had sex, owned a car, or traveled more than 50 miles from home. Their lives were stolen then, and we are doing it every day. Maybe not the numbers, not on such a grand scale, but the lessons of Vietnam have more than been forgotten. The brightest time in American history, another greatest generation, may well have been the one that stopped an evil and corrupt war. That generation saw the cost. Only the young and the parents of those the war destroyed knew Vietnam. America simply turned away a nation of, do we call us, cowards? Is there another term? Of the 2 to 3 million that survived, 100,000 were seriously physically disabled, and a million more suffered lifelong post-traumatic stress disorder. Not long after coming home, another 50,000 would die. Some of mysterious illnesses, many by suicide. 50,000 or more went to prison, some for a few years, some are still there. By 1972, only a few troops were in Vietnam fighting a rear guard holding action while America pretended it had won peace with honor at the bargaining table in Paris. A monster named Henry Kissinger won a Nobel Prize for that farce. Have we no shame? The vast majority of Americans didn't have 30 seconds a day to watch news about the war, not a minute a month to think about it, much less do something, take a stand for what was right. These are the people that love to hear about hippies and airport spitters. These people love Ollie North and John McCain, cartoon heroes for a nation too dead inside to care. Scary terrorists and endless wars are bread and butter for the drugstore Marine in Hanoi John. You don't know them by these names, the monikers they were tagged with by their fellow officers after Vietnam. Carefully hear what they say, that pair of bloated peddlers of death. Are they continually undermining America through the fear and mistrust their every word sows while they rake in millions? Why are men like this, whose pasts reek of the worst abuses imaginable, allowed to dishonor our dead while strutting around playing hero? Why has their real story been buried though the stench remains? Vietnam was a scam. The South Vietnamese government was brutal and corrupt. Hated by all, North Vietnam was never a part of a communist conspiracy to infiltrate America and force the evils of communism on our children. When more documents are declassified and the lying slows down, I am absolutely certain that the first Gulf War is going to turn out to be a scam also. It is out there, the reason Saddam invaded Kuwait, and when it comes out, the Americans responsible for misleading us into war after war after war will die of old age, honored and respected with their offshore bank accounts brimming with blood money. The countless dead were forgotten long ago, being the unnewsworthy lot they were. We already know, we and our gutless British cousins, that Bush and Blair and their cronies sent hundreds of thousands to war in 2003 based on not only lies, but a plot to undermine the democratic freedoms of both governments and prestige the Western world and their own image, totalitarian, interventionist, and totally owned and operated by an international cabal of financial criminals. Recent as it was, few Americans realized what the Gulf War really brought us. We got that new world order that Pappy Bush promised us in his Points of Light speech. What we got was an end to America as we know it, a government taking orders from Tel Aviv, and a new world order economy now openly looting the world, eating away even America's standards of living and flushing it down the toilet, turning the United States into a debt-ridden third world hellhole. The Romans gave away bread and amused the public with blood-drenched spectacles in the arena. Our bread and circuses game is Islamophobia, phony self-induced terrorism and exploitation of subhuman racial hatreds thinly veiled under the childish misnomer of conservatism. Anyone who isn't suspicious of 9/11, the TV spectacular, whose original cast of 19 now includes thousands, as years of credible research and investigation has proven, will gladly send others to die in their name around the world. Ignorance is complicity. Anyone who doesn't realize that the Bush cover story is the most outlandish conspiracy theory in history is capable of cheerleading for any sociopathic political clown from Caligula to Hitler to Cheney. We have to end our war because America can no longer trust itself. With all of America's media outlets owned by defense firms, let's call them war profiteers and be honest about it, or citizens of the state of Israel, a huckster nation smaller than Vermont that is the third largest weapons exporter in the world. No American can be certain about anything. What is true or false? What is fact? What is myth? Every day, every American is told two things. Don't trust your government. Don't trust your press. Both things are correct. The problem, of course, is that those that control the message control both the government and the press. The new government they continually offer is always the old government, and the new lies are always the old lies, enemies, new plots, new fears. If what you believe is based on what you hear and see, whether it is an airplane crashing into a building or someone telling you that ending years of corrupt tax abatements for billionaires is going to end the world, something is always being kept from you. That something is what is true, what is real. But I saw it. Yes, you saw something. Then someone explained it all. What you want to do is ask yourself, who made money from this? Who can control the world? The news. Where do the real conspirators live? Caves in Afghanistan or inside the Beltway in Washington or the coffee shops of Tel Aviv? Did I forget London? A while ago, we learned that 824,000 Americans have top security clearances. How much do you think those nearly 1 million people know that would shock or sicken you? Are only 10,000 involved in illegal conspiracies? What if every Israeli spy flushed at the same time? Would the Great Lakes suddenly disappear? I hope this isn't news to you, but most of history's wars were started with a false flag attack. A government attacks its own people to justify what it, out of delusion, tells itself is going to be best for everyone in the long run. The fact that billions, even trillions, is really stolen, is never spoken of. Nobody attacks a nation with 70% of the world's military might. It would only attack itself with a little help from its friends. How is America dealing with Afghanistan? Though a few lunatics are still running around talking about poor dead Osama bin Laden and imaginary Al-Qaeda, the mysterious worldwide conspiracy of cab drivers, waiters, and dishwashers, most Americans have forgotten Afghanistan. What do you say of a generation of Americans who can't say Palestinian without adding terrorist, but watch cluster bombs being dropped on playgrounds in Gaza, are willing to accept it as poor, frightened Israel protecting itself? This is the kind of ignorance that begged 9/11 and was amply rewarded. This is the kind of ignorance that will burn an American city to the ground with a terrorist nuke, simply to remove Iran from competition in the oil and gas pipeline business. Oh, newspapers don't report such things, not on the sports pages anyway. Over 40 years ago, Americans of conscience went to the streets to end a war. They saved more than just the lives of American soldiers and Vietnamese civilians. They restored America's honor. Control of American education and media, whether by Zionists, right-wing fanatics, thieving banksters, or a coalition of evildoers combining all three, has attempted to rewrite history. We are told mobs in airports attacked returning soldiers. We are told thousands of Americans died because of protests, not because of Kissinger's lies. Those who know better are still alive, some still awake, and too many silent. A generation of soldiers, now men and women, return from war maimed, crushed, and thrown away. 21st century America sees nothing, not the corruption, the narcotics, the lies, the evil, and what has gone on so long in the name of the people of the United States. What is war? All war is class struggle. If we still had more communists around, they would remind us. Rich people start wars. Poor people die and resources are stolen. Banks emptied and all of it hidden behind flag waving and childish scare tactics. War is part of the grander plan. Is war politics or is it economics? At one point in the last 2 years, it was estimated that there were as few as 12 potential Al-Qaeda suspects in Afghanistan. The person reading my water meter is a potential suspect. To a paranoid or law enforcement officer, anything that moves is a person of interest. A suspect is a person of interest who isn't sleeping or dead. Thousands of such suspects have been kidnapped and tortured by the United States over the last decade. The vast majority were released, some with millions in cash to shut them up. Some died, and a few were railroaded to criminal convictions based on false testimony and phony evidence. Who would want to protest against that? Would you want to die to defend that? Your children already have. A message in the Boone's Farm Bottle, messages we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy.
Well, it's been another long week in Moonrock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. You out-of-town guys sure think you're real keen. Think all us boys here are homespun and green. God damn it, you're all gonna die, oh Lord. God damn it, you're all gonna die, oh Lord. God damn it, you're all gonna die. Texan love song, Elton John. I remember. You remember, too, back in the days, they say today, winter of 71, summer of 74, right there in there somewhere. If you die today or tomorrow, if your life flashes before you as you choke on a steak or go flying off a bridge or jump, you'll remember the round light flasher on the silver Christmas tree, watching that sucker go round and round for hours. You'll remember some other shit. You'll remember songs, being out driving around in a special old car, road hunting, drinking on a beautiful fall day, and shooting aliens, saucer flying fucking aliens, and maybe your buddy hit one, and then you don't remember anything but that after that. Last time, AC, Kenny, and Rick were out drinking and road hunting by Broken Bridge. Rick was sitting in the back seat, shooting out the front window where Kenny's ears were. He wanted to kill something, his way of grieving over his brother, who had drowned in the new man-made lake in town a couple days ago. And then there was someone out in the dark. Rick grabbed one of the shotguns from the back seat, walked out toward the old bridge. He raised the gun to his shoulder and shot. The light from the barrel reaching out like a lightsaber. He ran back to the car, and then they all ran, skidding down the dusty gravel road up to a favorite old drinking spot on a hill. The lights of some tiny town were off to the right. I'd never noticed those before. I think the flashing lights off to the left were from the airport. Then there was the slow-moving traffic on the highway. All kind of like a moving painting of light of night. And in the foreground, You all just gather around over here. We have the black and white 1957 Chevrolet with the boys inside who just murdered an innocent alien being. And just behind them, we have the Stone Family Cemetery dating back to 1859. Notice the big moon, the shadows of cows let loose in the cornfield after the harvest. The hint of understated looming gloom, despair, and four lives ended abruptly. And fathers screaming, mothers crying, grandmothers punching stomachs with both hands. But fuck that shit. What really fucking matters anyway? Something comes on the radio. I tell the guys to shut the fuck up. Says Kenny, here is it. You guys awake? Listen, why don't you for fucking once? And now on the American Red Cross channel, sending out to the troops at sea, the undercover agents at home, and the cities of the world, a public service word from the Boy Scouts, Kiwanis, Sertoma, JC's, Rotary, and the Moose. The final days of U.S. empire are fast approaching. Perhaps its end will pass slowly and gradually, or perhaps the event will unfold rapidly and catastrophically. Maybe chaos will break loose, or maybe its demise will be organized well and proceed smoothly. This nobody knows. But the end of empire is coming, as surely as day follows night and sun follows rain. Overexpansion, overreach, and over-indebtedness will take their toll, as all past empires have discovered. Empires are like bacteria in a petri dish, unthinking, unseeing, unfeeling. They expand until they run out of food or contaminate their environment with their waste. And then they die. They are automatons. They just can't help it. They are programmed to expand or die, and in the end, expand and die. What does the empire feed on? It feeds on money and fear. Your money and your fear, both obtained with your cooperation. It's bigger now than when it faced an actual adversary in the Soviet Union. Russia is no adversary. All it wants is to be a normal country at peace with the world. But the empire won't let it, will it? It must create enemies. Who are our enemies? According to the authors of Endless War, there are North Korea, Iran, Syria, and Islamic terrorists. Are any of them actually capable of threatening the U.S.? Well, yes. But they're all quite easy to deter. But the plan of the authors of Endless War is not to deter them. It's to back them into a corner with political instability and sanctions while whipping up the population on both sides into a fear-filled frenzy. We all know that the U.S. military-industrial complex has become a self-perpetuating and uncontrollable organism, just like Dwight D. Eisenhower warned us in 1961. Everyone knows the phrase and Eisenhower's warning. It's part of our collective memory. At $1 trillion a year and growing, with over 1,000 bases ringing the planet, it's expanded far beyond what Eisenhower could have imagined in his worst nightmare. We can't say we didn't know. He warned us. After the National Socialist episode in Germany, many good Germans voiced regrets at not speaking up, claiming they didn't know what was being done in their name. But we did not have that excuse. We all knew all along, nor was it the first time we were warned. General Smedley Butler told us before in 1933, and his words are still with us, posted online. Why is it that everyone, generals included, suddenly gained wisdom immediately upon reaching retirement? Butler offered an explanation. His mind was in suspended animation while serving as a soldier and following orders. In 1933, Butler told us that he was a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism. This empire is nothing new. We know what it is, what it was, what it does all along. We can't say we didn't know. We've watched throughout our lives as the U.S. put down every popular uprising against local autocrats and oligarchs, placed countries under U.S. control, then helped organize and train the death squads that killed off the opposition. Think of Indonesia, Argentina, or Honduras. We watched as the empire crushed every democratic government that threatened U.S. business interests under the false pretext of anti-communism. Starting with Iran in 1953, Guatemala in 1954, proceeding to Congo, Haiti numerous times, most notably and infamously Chile in 1973, assassinating President Salvador Allende on September 11, 1973, Nicaragua in the 1980s, many, many others. And of course, many of us lived through the epic lies and genocide of millions in Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia during the so-called Vietnam War. We knew, we watched, we paid taxes that paid for the bullets and the bombs. More recently, we've seen the barefaced lies of empire laid out for all to see in Iraq, Libya, Syria, Afghanistan, Somalia, Georgia, Pakistan, Yemen, Ukraine. They never end. But the trouble we stir up in other places never seems to come home and ring our doorbell, does it? Maybe that's why it keeps on going. We think that we can just ignore it and go on with our lives, that it won't affect us. Or does it? Let's leave aside the destruction of democracy that always accompanies a militarized fascist police state that the U.S. has gradually turned into. Let's ignore the violence that pervades U.S. society, or the vast gulag of incarceration that disposes of our useless eaters. Consider that the only military attack on U.S. soil that actually scored a palpable hit since Pearl Harbor was 9/11. Pearl Harbor was on the periphery, way out in the Pacific. A day that will live in infamy, the more so since FDR knew it was coming, did all he could to provoke it by cutting Japan off from oil supplies, directly provoking it into launching the attack. But Hawaii is the periphery. While 9/11 struck at the heart of the empire, the financial center in New York that drives the imperial wealth pump. And the Pentagon, which is charged with the mission of U.S. world domination. Whether you believe that 19 Arabs armed with box cutters who couldn't fly propeller planes took down three World Trade buildings that plummeted straight down at the speed of free fall in what looked like controlled demolition. Yes, there were three. Look up building stuff. And also destroyed a section of the Pentagon. Or whether you believe it was an inside job, it doesn't matter. The point is, in that act of destruction, the wars of the empire finally came home. What was the result? Did these events cause us to reconsider what we're doing? Of course not. Instead, we went all in for war. Remember, the empire is an automaton, a self-perpetuating organism living on money and fear. What better way to whip up fear than to stage or allow or to simply fail to prevent an attack on the homeland, which is, by the way, a Nazi propaganda term. The purpose of war is to cause more war, since it is so profitable for the badly misnamed defense industry. Butler told us in 1933 that war is a racket, and documented massive war profiteering during World War I. Do you know how much money Lockheed, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, General Dynamics, Raytheon et al. Are making from the war on terror? The sums are astronomical. And that's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. And that wraps up this week's episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. We thank you for joining us tonight. We hope you'll be back next week and every week right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And let me remind you, Revolution Radio is a listener-supported network, and they deserve your support. So head over to freedomslips.com and make a donation. Tell them we sent you. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thank you, Chuck, for all you do, everything that makes the show possible. And thanks to our guests, Thomas Wortman, Jim Fetzer, Richard Flamer, Phil Ferruggio, and Frank Cordero. Please visit the New American Dream website, newdream.us, also penmagazine.us. If you'd like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. To donate to Richard Flamer's The Chiapas Project, write to The Chiapas Project, care of Holy Family Catholic Church, 1715 Izzard Street, IZAR, Omaha, Nebraska, 68102. And visit the website, thechiapasproject.com. And so good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksprung. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Mohammed Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
He had white horses and ladies by the score, all dressed in satin and waiting by the door. Oh, what a lucky man he was. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Night of our lives, but you're gonna let it be the worst.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life you won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
Well, I'm not going home.
We've got too far,
and I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this lost cause.
A day may come when the courage of men fails, but it is not this day.
The line must be drawn here, this far, no farther.
I'm not saying it's gonna be easy.
You're gonna work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine, we'll just get tougher with it.
If a person grits his teeth and shows real determination,
failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say,
we can break this army here.
And win just one for the Gipper.
But I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time,
you've got to get mad.
I mean plumb mad dog mean.
If you would be free men, then you must
fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts
1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
You're like a big bear, man.
This is your time.
Seize the day. Never surrender.
Victory or death.
Patch the Chicago.
Who's with me?
All right,
let's fly.
And gentlemen in England, now abed,
shall know my
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. One world coming together to bring freedom home. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them. They're gonna kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be